traditional man.
Welcome to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 CCL Football Game of the Week. The CCL Football Game of the Week is brought to you by the Mount Carmel Foundation. Your play-by-play announcer tonight is Randy Reinhart, along with color analyst Coach Larry Wolf. Tonight's matchup is a Division IV state semifinal as Hartley takes on Kettering Alter. And now here's Randy Reinhart and Larry Wolf with the CCL Football Game of the Week.
Well, it's a frosty night here in London for this matchup between Alter and Hartley. I'm Randy alongside Larry. And Larry, when you look at this, both of these teams like to run the football. What should we expect to see any different out of these two teams tonight?
You might see a little more of the frill type offense from Hartley. I would think that Alter's a little bit better than Hartley, man-to-man. And so I think Hartley's going to pull out all the stops tonight on offense.
Hartley comes in 11-2 on the campaign and number 8 in that final AP poll, if you're wondering too. Alter uncontested in 13 contests so far this season. 13-0, number 1 in the AP poll. Ed Domsitz in his 25th year running the program. We're going to pause on the other side. We'll hear from both head coaches. But first, we'll remind you this is the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Get 0% financing for 72 months on almost all remaining 2016 Ford vehicles at Bob Boyd Ford in Lancaster. This is Bobby Dawes, and for a limited time, you can buy a new 2016 Ford F-150, the best-selling vehicle in the world, and pay 0% up to 72 months. Shop us 24/7 at BobBoyd.com and experience for yourself. The best deals are always on Route 33 at the Bob Boyd Auto Family. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Because you and the sunrise have a lot in common. The hope of a new day and brighter tomorrows. And because you, like the sun, can light up the whole world too. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason we offer the very best in patient-centered cancer care. Why we provide a special certified nurse navigator to guide and comfort you every step of the way. And why we hold dedicated cancer conferences led by top specialists to ensure the best treatment plan for each newly diagnosed patient. You are the reason we provide social workers and dietitians especially for cancer patients, and why we offer education, support groups, and survivorship programs during and after treatment to help you live your new life. Because with each new day, with every sunrise, some people just can't imagine the world without you in it. Mount Carmel, because of you. Learn more about our patient-centered care at mountcarmelhealth.com.
Education First Credit Union is your total mortgage source. Whether you are looking to buy your first home, refinance your existing home, or take advantage of your home's equity, we are a mortgage lender you can trust. We take pride in providing the most comprehensive line of mortgage products at very competitive rates and terms. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 811029, and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
And welcome back to the pregame show, joined now by the head coach of the Hawks, Brad Birchfield. Coach, take us back to the game with Ottawa Glandorf. Your thoughts after that contest and after having a few days to think about it?
We were appreciative to win. It was a great football game, the way these have been when we played them, at least two of the three times. I thought it was a great game, and I thought we took their best shot and found a way to win, and you're obviously really proud of that.
You've played 13 weeks of football. How healthy can the team be as you head into week number 14 tonight?
Yeah, knock on wood, we're really healthy. I mean, it's the healthiest we've ever been in all my years of coaching. I mean, 14 years head coach, this is the healthiest we've ever been. And sometimes I think it's luck. Sometimes I think it's strategy. I don't know what the answer is. I'm sure if I knew it, we would bottle it up and keep doing it. But, 14 weeks is a long time. I mean, you start adding in scrimmages and whatnot. I mean, we're playing an NFL season, and when you're playing in the playoffs, you're playing against good teams every week, good hard physical teams. It is, I hate that term grind because I think that gives a negative connotation that you're doing something you don't like grinding. You might be mowing the lawn. This is football. This is sports. This is meant to be fun. But there's no question that it is. There's a grueling aspect of it on the physically, emotionally, those kind of things.
Ironically, we touched on Matteo Agresti before the game last week. Now, after what happened this past weekend, can you talk about his play and the fact that he was able to nail that 42-yarder. How confident were you, and how did he react afterwards?
I don't know that we were incredibly confident, but we thought he had a chance. He really kicked it. I mean, he just kind of squeaked it in there, too. But he's a great kicker. It is always good this time of year. You know, he's a soccer player. Soccer's over, so he can practice every day. And you see these guys get a lot better, whether it's Ben or Brent through the years. They get a ton better. He really nailed that onside kick, too. We just didn't recover it fast enough. So he's done a great job for us. We're going to need him this week.
Talk about this week. Talk about tonight. You take on Alter, a team you have some history with. What concerns you when you think about Kettering Alter?
Everything. I mean, they've outscored people 600 to 100. I mean, they are really good on offense, really good on defense, and their special teams are phenomenal. It sounds like hyperbole a little bit to talk about how good they are, because they're good everywhere. But we know that when you get this time in the tournament, everybody's really good. I mean, half of the really good teams are going home tonight and tomorrow night. But they're fantastic. I mean, they're physical. They're obviously incredibly well coached. Yeah, they're a handful.
So keys to victory, what do you have to do to advance to the championship game?
It sounds coy, but I don't know. I don't know what we have to do. I mean, I think it would sound great, and we sit down and say we have to win first downs, but the reality is we've got to win third downs, because third and 10, this great quarterback can take off and run with it, and he can convert that. We would love to get him in first and long, or second and long, excuse me, but, you know, third down's going to be just as critical. We've got to control the ball offensively. We've got to be happy getting 3 yards and continuing to move the chains and doing everything we can to control the football.
Coach, good luck tonight.
All right, thank you, guys.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week, as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Kevin Smith help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Kevin Smith handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn you discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Position yourself for success at Ohio Dominican University.
With an outstanding academic reputation, ODU offers an education that produces graduates grounded in faith, values, and ethics.
Ranked in the top tier of U.S. News and World Report's rating of Midwest universities, Ohio Dominican offers a wide range of academic programs that are in demand in today's marketplace.
Whether you're launching your career or preparing for grad school, ODU is here to position you for future success.
Connect your passion with a purpose.
Learn more at ohiodominican.com.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart. Our pricing is about half of new. Think about it. If we sell you a product at a great price and it is very reliable, well, that makes you a happy customer. Which explains why over the past few years, Miracle Motor Mart has become the largest independent dealer by the number of vehicles sold in the state of Ohio. Listen, go to miraclemotormart.com. You'll be glad you did.
And welcome back to the pregame show. Glad to have you aboard. We're joined by Ed Domsitz, the head coach of the Knights. And, Coach, congratulations on making it to the state semis.
Thank you.
Talk about your team this season. What has been impressive in your eyes about these Alter football players?
Well, I think a couple of things. But I think, first of all, they've been ready to play each week. There's no question we've been favored in many of our ball games. Particularly throughout the regular season. And these kids have come ready to play. We talk about teams that are not prepared. That's how upsets occur. So I know people have commented over the course of the season who's Alter played. Well, you know, the last 3 or 4 weeks we've played some pretty good people, starting with our rival Chaminade in week 10 and right on up through the first 3 weeks of the playoffs. So we've now played some pretty good people, and we've been able to get the win, so we feel good about that.
Talk about your offense, too. You got Ryan Markoff at quarterback, who's over 1,000 yards rushing, and then Holden rushing. What an apropos name that is. Talk about those two guys in the backfield.
Yeah, those fellas do a great job. I think Ryan's been the quarterback, starting quarterback, the last two seasons. Holden really, he played a lot last year for us in the backfield. This is the first year he's been sort of the go-to guy, and he's done a great job. But, and we've got kids like Trevor Smith. We've got four kids at the running backs spot that are pretty effective. Trevor Smith, John Bivens, a sophomore, and Trent Wilson, a senior. So they mix in there. Our fullbacks are Justin Harris and Jake Ledford.
Coach, can you talk about the Knights on defense? What stands out on that side of the football?
Probably our ability to get to the football, and normally we tackle pretty well. And that's certainly going to be put to a test this week because this team likes to run the ball. They like to get to the edge. We do get pressure on quarterbacks, and our secondary has done a nice job of covering people. The challenge for us this week is to grow so concerned about the run, particularly on the edge, that you let one of those receivers slip behind you. And you see that in practically every game they play. So we're going to have to really be a disciplined secondary this week.
Predicated on that then, final thoughts about keys to victory. What do you have to do to win tonight?
I think that as much as anything, it's going to be we're going to have to move the football, control the football, try to keep their offense off the field. We're going to have to be able to stop their drives. I know that sounds crazy, but if you look at our game in 2010, we struggled a little bit stopping their drives. They made some mistakes, and we did hold them on a few, but not nearly enough. So in critical situations, we have to come up big on both sides of the football. And you know, as well as I do, it comes down a lot of times in close ball games to special teams. So if all three areas, if we can do fairly well, I think we'll be in the ball game and should make it interesting.
Coach, best of luck tonight.
Okay, thank you.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week. It's presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Instead of trading in your old car, truck, or van, think about donating it to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. In fact, St. Gabriel Radio is a nonprofit that accepts all vehicle donations. Your gift helps to spread the word of God to a multitude of listeners all over Ohio and may qualify you for a tax break. It's easy and hassle-free. Call 614-459-4820 or visit us online at stgabrielradio.com.
Because your heart is what really makes your world go round. And because you have touched the hearts of others in ways no one else can. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason we are constantly adopting new heart care treatments. Why we've assembled the best in the treatment of heart and vascular disease. And why we provide specially trained clinicians for the most serious heart patients. So you can receive the special care you need every step of the way, through your hospital treatment, and after you return home, so you can get back to the life you love. At Mount Carmel, you'll receive the best heart care from a dedicated team that's always focused on you. Because there's no one else like you, and no other heart quite like yours. Mount Carmel, because of you. Learn more about our patient-centered care at mountcarmelhealth.com.
St. Gabriel Catholic Radio is looking for listeners like you to serve as parish ambassadors. Parish ambassadors work with your parish team to provide AM 820 bumper magnets and prayer cards. Be a disciple of Christ and help us spread the news of Catholic Radio in your parish. If you would like to serve as St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 parish ambassador, contact the St. Gabriel Radio office or go online at stgabrielradio.com.
Welcome back to London, Ohio, and Mullis Field for the start of this contest between Hartley and Alter. Alter won the toss and deferred. Hartley will receive going from right to left. 33 degrees of game time. It feels like 27. Wind from the southwest at 5, gusting to 15 at times. So the Hawks will get it first. And Larry, you were concerned about some of the size of the Alter players compared to Hartley, although Hartley's got decent size.
Oh, yeah, they do. I'm just saying, I think Alter might be a smidge better than Hartley. Don't count the Hawks short, okay? These guys know how to win. They've been here before. They've played good football teams. So I think Brad and the boys will have something up their sleeve for these guys. But I'm just saying, on paper, and they don't play it on paper, Alter might be a little bit better.
I guess the question you would have, though, is when you look at Alter's schedule, who did they play during the regular season? None of the teams they played during the regular season made the playoffs. Right. Obviously, they played right. Three tougher teams when they got to the postseason with wins over Indian Hill and Clinton Massey, a perennial power in postseason football. In Wyoming last week, 35-7 was the final in that contest. For the Hartley Hawks, wins in the playoffs over Jonathan Alder, 35-21, a game you heard right here. Then they beat Port Clinton 44-7. And in a contest we did last week as well, too, on AM 820, they got by Ottawa Glandorf, surviving OG 38-35. Matteo Agresti with a 42-yard field goal to win that contest.
Thank you for your feedback, sir.
So just about ready for this contest, and time to boot it to start this game. In week number 14, what might be going through the minds of one Brad Birchfield right now?
Well, he's probably trying to figure out what they can do. As he told us in the pregame that, you know, they'd have to wait and find out what they can do. They're not sure whether it'll be inside, outside, you know, if they have to throw the ball, whatever they have to do. They'll find that out as the game goes on. They'll probe for a while, but then he'll figure it out.
Matt Ruffalo does all the kicking duties for Alter. It's ironic. We've got the CCL team against the Knights tonight, and then tomorrow night we'll have the Sales against the Knights of Akron Hoban. All right here. And by the way, coverage tomorrow night starts at 6:45 for that contest on Saturday night. So Ruffalo getting the ball right now, getting ready to tee it up, and he stands 5'10", 190. He's 73 of 74 on extra points so far this season. He's 4-5 on field goals with a long of 40. And he's only punted 16 times on the campaign. You look at that, he is, what, 73 of 74. On the other side, Matteo Agresti, 71 of 73. Your officials for tonight, your referee is Rick Fisher. Your umpire is Chris Myers. Your linesman is Bobby Starks. The line judge is Harry Myers. And the back judge is Lance Jacobs. Predominantly a good share of this crew, Larry, from the northwestern Ohio area.
They try to get neutral crews and crews that they may not even work together all year. They're kind of an all-star thing. I wish they get this clock going here. We've been at double zeros here for quite a while, and they're kind of looking up at the press box here. So
Manley and Culver back deep for the Hawks, standing inside the 10-yard line. For the Hawks, again, this is a team that lost two games during the campaign. But, again, think about who they lost to. In week number one, they lost to Toledo Central Catholic in the last 30 seconds, 31-28. And they lost to DeSales by just a touchdown as well on the campaign. And that was just a one-score contest at 31-24. Those teams 1-2 in the state Division III and maybe on a collision course for the state title
in
a week.
And those two teams give you some barometer of just how well Hartley can play against top-notch quality opponents.
Still working on the clock situation here at Bullis Field. It's still reading zeros right now, trying to get that ascertained, and we'll let you know what happens. Hopefully they get that fixed shortly. But when you look at the Hartley Hawks, this is the team that, you know, loves to run the ball, but they run it with some style and pizzazz. They can do a multitude of things. We talk about the jet sweep and other variations, and just about the time you think it's going to be a running play, that's when Jake Ruby, by the way, signed a baseball scholarship, can go back and launch one downfield to the likes of Manley or even the tight end Kirkbride.
I think Jake Ruby might be the X factor tonight. He's going to have to make some big plays with his feet and with his throwing arm. And we're still at zeros on the clock, so.
Well, same for the score, too, so that's good to know. And again, other games going on tonight, just a reminder. In Division I, St. Ignatius taking on Olentangy Liberty. That's at Mansfield. Pick Central is going to take on Cincinnati St. X, and that is at Piqua. Then also to Division II, Massillon Perry taking on Hudson at Uniontown Lake. Anthony Wayne taking on Cincinnati LaSalle. The other game of Division IV tonight, besides this matchup, is Steubenville, who played Hartley in the state championship game last year, against Perry. And Steubenville, Big Red at 12-1, Perry at 13-0 at Youngstown Boardman's, where they're playing that. Then in Division 6 tonight, Cuyahoga Heights taking on Newark Catholic. Bill Frank and the gang at 9-4, taking on Heights at 13-0 at Orville, and Patrick Henry at 13-0, taking on Maria Stein, Marion Local at Lima. And the clock has been set to 12 minutes.
There's no guarantee it'll turn on, however. We could still be at 12 minutes 12
you know,
minutes from now.
Thanksgiving was yesterday. Just be thankful there's 12 minutes on the clock.
I've got enough turkey for me to prove it was Thanksgiving yesterday.
I don't think he needed the turkey to change you at all.
It was cannibalism on my part.
Ruffalo has it teed up, and we are underway. State semifinal action here on AMA 20. Deep kick, and Culver's got it from the 4. Cameron, little hop step of the 10. Giving ground, now back up to the 15-yard line, up the middle to the 20, and backs his way up to the 24-yard line. That's where the Hawks will take over an offense, their first drive of this contest. For Bishop Hartley, up front in the interior five, it is Nick Dawes, Thomas Casimir, Max Steinecker, Cody Kirkbride, and Adam Cohn. Tight end is Jordan Kirkbride. The wide receiver is Jaden Manley. Quarterback, Jake Ruby. Fullback is either Nick Onega or Nick Cohn. We'll let you know which Nick is out there in a second. Marquette Dixon is the halfback, and on the wing, it's Cameron Culver. Also, we'll see a lot of Philip Cole tonight, perhaps even early in the contest. To start the contest, it is Onega in the backfield. First and 10 from the 24-yard line. The clock has ticked down to 12 seconds already. We've taken 8 seconds off the clock. Too wide to either side. One man in motion, top to bottom. Coming back around, Culver has got it. Culver's going to find a gap up across the 25, up to around the 30-yard line. And Cameron Culver up to around 32. So a nice gain as Culver takes it around the outside and to the far hash as Hartley's going from right to left to start this contest. White uniforms, blue numerals, with a red striping as well, too, and Alder, brown jerseys with the white numerals and yellow piping as well, too, and the white pants.
Well, they ran the jet sweep with Marquette Dixon on the first play, and then he pitched it back to Cameron Culver on the reverse.
Gain of 8, second down and 2. On the ground, they keep it right up the gut, and this time it's big number 20, barreling through Nick Onega, who's got the first down for the Hawks. Nick came into this contest with 47 carries for 442 yards. Defensively, for the Knights, Tom Ehlig is the D coordinator, who I covered when he played with Alter when I last did them in 1984 when they lost to Whitehall in the state semifinals at Welcome Stadium to the tune of 21-0. We'll go over their starting defense, which has multiple looks in just a second. First and 10 for the Hawks now from the 38. They're going to start with a triple stack eye with one wide at the top. They'll shift out of that. A handoff goes to the second man through, and that is Marquette Dixon up across the 45 to the 47-yard line. Defensively, for the Knights, it is Tony Petrosino, Alex Helm, Eric Prason, and Connor Brinkman up front. Linebackers are Lane Harshbarger, who made the tackle, Alden Sims, David Ruth, and Kyle Roshan. In the secondary, the DBs are Charlie Wilkie, along with Michael Beam. The safety is Jordan Coover.
Right now, Hartley looks to be probing straight ahead, straight at him, as opposed to the misdirection stuff. They're going right downhill.
Triple stack. They keep it that way and pound it off the right side across the 50-yard line on a second down and one. They'll have another Hawk first down just past midfield as Dixon and company find that gap with 10:20 left to go. And Hartley's got it first and 10 officially at the 49 of the Knights.
The one misdirection play they had was on the opening play, the reverse. Other than that, it's been straight ahead, and they're just trying to find a one-on-one that they can, you know, exploit. And they're going to keep going back to that well as long as they can until Alder stops it.
Blackman on a wing to the top. Backs offset. On a first and 10 now from the Alder 49 for Ruby and Company. Under center. Handoff goes to the fullback and plowing his way down to the 46-yard line. And met right there with plenty of resistance is Nick Cohn. 30 carries for about 160 yards on the campaign and 3 touchdowns.
We've got 2 different spots here, so it's going to be interesting to see which one they check to.
Going to put it at the 46, I think. Gain of about 3 on the play. Again, Hawks going right to left. They're on the close to the far hash, we should say, right now. And they'll have it. And they need 7 yards right now from the 46. They check the wristbands for the plays that the Hawks have on their left arms.
This looks like a jet sweep coming our way.
Ruby under center with 2 wide to the bottom, 1 back in the backfield, 1 wide to the top. Hand off, and they'll take the sweep, but then cut it inside to the 45-yard line and gain only a yard on the play. It'll be 3rd down and 5 from there. Not much room for the Hartley Hawks to find any opening for Marquette Dixon.
Now, I think they were hoping that they would fly out, that Alder would fly to the outside when they got Marquette on the jet sweep, but he cut it up inside and no place to go. Maybe a gain of 2.
So Chris Sawyer and company looking at a 3rd down and 5 from the 44-yard line of Alder. Clock ticks down now to 8:50 left to go in the first quarter.
This is exactly what Brad wanted to do, keep the football away from Alder, and they're doing it so far.
2 wide to the bottom, but not that wide, stacked behind each other. 2 backs in the backfield, toss, it goes to Marquette Dixon, and they're going to bring him down at the 43-yard line, grabbing him and not letting go once he got to the line of scrimmage for Alder with big number 52, Nathaniel Clayton, helping to make the hit on the play.
Well, he's 4 yards short. And this may be a punting situation. It may not be.
The ball at the 43. Make that instead 53 instead of 52. That's Eric Prason, the defensive lineman, makes the hit. So they need 4 from the 43-yard line. They clock down to 15. Game clock reads 8:10, ticking in the first quarter. And they show they're going to go for it, at least, with the backs offset. They try to draw him offside. They don't. Ruby back under center with 3, with 2, with 1, and they're going to go for it. Toss goes to Dixon. Finds a gap inside the 45, the 40, 35. Marquette Dixon, 30. Down the sidelines. Dixon, 20, 15, 10, 5. Marquette Dixon is going to take it in for the touchdown as he scores from 43 yards out with 7:46 left to go. And the Hawks on top in this one, 6-0.
Just what the doctor ordered. I mean, they probed inside and they got some yardage inside, and then Alder stiffened inside. And so what did Hartley do? They went to the quick toss to the outside, and Marquette Dixon broke a couple tackles, took it down the far sideline, and 6-0 Hartley.
About 8 yards in, he broke a tackle, and once he got by that, smooth sailing down the sidelines for the Hawks is Mateo Agresti on now. Trying to go 72 of 74 on extra points. Bachman to hold it. Long count by Bachman. There's a snap, puts it down. There's a kick, plenty of leg. It is up. And it's good. We'll take a commercial break of 30 seconds with 7:46 left to go. Hartley leads 7-0. This is the CCL Game of the Week here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Salazzo Marble and Granite cheers on our Catholic high school teams. Salazzo Marble is Ohio's premier provider of gorgeous marble, granite, travertine, and stone tile with the largest selection. Our stone experts are knowledgeable and professional with a 45-year reputation for completing projects on time and on budget. Visit our warehouse and personally select the right stone for your home. That's Salazzo Marble, S-O-L-A-Z-Z-O. Online at salazzomarble.com. Arrivederci.
And welcome back to London as Hartley gets on the board on their first drive. 8 plays, 76 yards, 4:14 off the clock. Dixon from 43 yards out, Agresti with the PAT. And the Hawks on their first drive, cash it in, Larry, and lead by a touchdown.
Well, and, you know, Brad doesn't know, even right now, what will work. But he's probing. You know, they tried inside and it worked for a while, and then they stopped. They tried outside and it's worked for a while. Now it's just it's a matter of what can you do?
Kick is high and not that deep, and will bounce inside the 25-yard line, be scooped up there, and blitz down right at the 23-yard line. Solid play by the Hartley Hawks on kick coverage that time. Yeah, did a great job. Reese the third, if you will, makes the hit on the play. On the return, that was number 86, Daniel McKelvey, who on the campaign is averaging just about 27 yards on a kick return, but didn't get it that time. Going to mark it officially with some forward progress up to the 25, and that's where Alter's going to take over on their first drive of the night. First and 10. Interior five is Duke Valentour, Trevor Haker, Sam Ripley, Nick Buescher, and Max Miller. Ryan Markoff going to lead the offense. Three backs in the backfield. They go with that wishbone look. And they hand it off and get a gain up across the 30 to the 31-yard line on the play. So a nice gainer on that first down play as they find a gap right up the middle there. And Justin Harris on the carry. He's in the backfield at fullback along with Holden Rushing, the running back. There's an appropriate name. And Trevor Smith. Ryan Markoff is the quarterback. Passing 16 of 29. That's it on the season. 385 yards and 6 touchdowns. But he's rushed for just over 1,000 yards. Second and 4 now from the 31 of the Knights. Keep it on the ground again and tripped up after a gain of 1 on the play. Tried to turn the corner that time and rushing only got 1 yard, Larry.
Well, and he got dragged down by Max Steiniker. And Hartley's showing a three-man front, and what that's going to do is they're going to give the ball to the fullback a lot tonight. If Hartley doesn't change their front, the fullback dive is going to be there all night, and the linebacker's going to have to come up and make the play because this triple option style offense is going to lend itself to that quick fullback dive.
Matthew Zielinski checks in as a wideout with the play from the sidelines. Clock reading 6:41 left to go. The play clock at 25 still. I think we may have to do some resetting there. We'll tell you more about the Hawk defense here in just a second. Now they'll crank the clock one more time.
Four wide.
Three wide to the bottom. Yep, and one to the top, one back in the backfield now. They're going to hand it off and get it up to the 34-yard line, just shy of the sticks by about a half yard as they find a little gap off the right side. As the handoff that time goes to Trevor Smith with 65 carries and 457 yards. And allegedly, their punt team is coming on the field, but we'll see.
Yeah,
well,
theoretically, of course.
Ruffalo back to punt on the campaign, averaging 36.4 yards. Hawks have twin safeties back deep. And Manley and Cole. And indeed, he will punt, and it's high, and it is not that long. It's a quail. And it's going to be down right at the 41-yard line as it went right into the paws of big number 85, Justin Schimpf, one of the wide receivers, only 25 yards on that punt. So the Hawks will get excellent field position. Larry, are you surprised they didn't go for it?
Well, they're at their own 39-yard line, but it was only 4th and 1. And in a game like this, every possession is critical, and then you don't get a very good punt out of it. And so probably in retrospect, they'd like to go for it now, but it's a little too late. Hartley's got a chance to open up a 14-point lead on this drive. That would be huge because I don't know Alder's ever been down by 14 all year.
They have not. Manley to the top, Culver to the bottom, Dixon in the backfield, Ruby your quarterback.
Looks like a jet sweep formation to me.
Onaga the lead back.
It could be the counter back off of it.
Right off the 41-yard line, near hash, going right to left. Culver in motion, bottom to top. On the delay, the handoff goes off the left side. Dixon spins from two defenders. 50, 45, Marquette Dixon all the way down to the 41-yard line of the Knights before he's brought down on the play, hit made by number 27, Antoine Martin Jr.
It was the jet sweep fake, and they ran the counter tray off of it, which is exactly, I mean, this, we've seen Hartley, what, six or seven times this year already? So you get a chance to see him every week, and you just kind of get a feel for their offense, and they're going to try and get Marquette Dixon the ball in a lot of different ways.
Gain of 19 on the play, first and 10 now from the 40-yard line of Kettering Alter.
And he was one tackle away from taking that one to the house.
Yeah, yet again, we should say, too. Yes. By the way, with Dixon's touchdown now, he has 35 on the campaign.
Amazing.
And he's got six carries now for 78 yards. First and 10 from the 40. Culver in motion from bottom to top. Gets a handoff. Finds a gap inside. He'll pick up five on the play. Went up and over, if you will. He's the wide man to the left side and then went up near the line of scrimmage and cut it upfield and picked up five right smack dab at the 35, second and five, halfway home from there.
Now that's a jet sweep, but it's designed to go off tackle instead of wide. And the reason that they do that is to keep the defense honest. If all they do is run wide, they'll fly out and it'll make it tough to do. So this way they can cut it up north and south and make a big gain right up the middle.
Dixon was in the backfield, goes to a wing, now goes back in the backfield again. Eight on the play clock. Cone, the up man, they're offset, second and five. Dixon gets the handoff, pounds it inside, gets it down to around the 32-yard line before he's brought down on the play. It'll be third down and short. They'll need about two more yards for the first down before he was whacked down right at that 32-yard line.
Brings up third down to short one, spotted the 31.
Alter just brought in another defensive tackle, so they're going to go five down linemen to try and stop this interior rushing attack by the Hawks.
Third and less than two. It's a long one, and the Hawks beep it up front as well, too, as they go with more weight up front, so to speak, with Luke Kearney in there. Backs offset again. Dixon gets the toss right up the middle. Needs one and a half, and I'm not sure he got near the sticks. He may have enough for the first down.
Yeah, he got one and an inch, and that may be all he needs.
And the ball's across the 30, so that's a first down. You don't even have to measure that one. So the Hawks get the first down. They take the big package out there. Luke Kearney doing a good job on the left side. Actually, that was Jordan Smith, not Luke Kearney, both wearing 48. So Jordan Smith, 5'11 and 250, and a senior that time on the left side. So they go with a smaller lineup now. And on again in the backfield, along with Marquette Dixon. And Cameron Culver, currently three backs, triple stack. Let's see if they shift out of this with one wide at the top. Culver shifts out. Little boot this time by Ruby. Looking downfield, has two men open. The pass incomplete. You know, he had a short guy and a deep guy. Did the short guy get in the way of the deep guy?
He threw it long to the short guy and short to the long guy, and that ends up being an incomplete pass. If it had been a foot higher, it's a completion for 20 yards. A foot lower, it's a completion for 20 yards. Either way, and it was right in the middle of it.
So it'll be second down and 10 now from the 30-yard line of the Knights. 3:29 left to go first quarter.
The receivers,
Hawks up 7-0.
Yeah, excuse me, Randy. The receivers need to do a better job of getting separation there. Yep. They were way too close to each other, and they got in each other's way.
Smith again playing that tight end to the bottom of the set.
Rocket sweep here.
And Dixon is the wingman to the bottom. On the counter play, it's Dixon, looks for the gap inside the 30, down around the 25-yard line. So Marquette Dixon will pick up five, setting up a third down and five now for the Hawks.
Well, the thing is, they're in four-down territory, so passing it on first down doesn't change the sticks. It's just like a normal three-down situation here. So they need to get another 3 yards here and put it in fourth and two.
Approaching 3 minutes left to go. First quarter, state semifinal division four. Bishop Hartley on top of Archbishop Alter, 7-0. Dixon to the bottom again. One back in the backfield. And that's Cone. Culver to the top. Dixon in motion. Gets the toss. Uh-oh. And the toss is behind him. Can he fall on the football? It's three at the 32-yard line. And Alter thinks they have it. We'll wait and see as they unsort the pile at the 32-yard line.
Well, there's some serious fighting going on under that pile. I can guarantee you that. Hartley has it.
The Hawks got it back at around the 32, maybe the 33-yard line. But now, put you in an interesting situation. You're going to need about 13 yards on fourth down.
Well, and it would be about a 50-yard field goal, so they don't have that kind of range, so they're going to have to go for this one. And there wasn't anybody out on the flank. I think if the looked like the toss was just a tad behind him, still should have been caught.
15 on the play clock, 2:10 in the quarter. Fourth and 13 from the 33 of the Knights. Kirkbride readjusts to the top of the set. And now the Hawks may burn a timeout. They were down to three on the play clock. They take a timeout. We'll take a commercial break of 30 seconds. 2 minutes left to go in the quarter. This is the CCL Game of the Week here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Right now, one in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. If you're one of them, State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus can help you get to a better state because he'll talk with you, listen to you, and help put together a policy that has you written all over it. From costs to coverage, all backed by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Then call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus and officially get to a better state with State Farm.
Welcome back to London, Ohio, not England. Randy and Larry.
Hello, Mike.
Along with Scott Rex and Greg Sivaldi, the lovely and talented Emily Clark back in the studios of AMA 20.
Right. Somebody in this group ought to be lovely and talented.
Thank
I can tell you that right now.
Fourth down and nearly 13. Is this indeed a pass play for the Hawks or not necessarily?
I think it is. And it might be a screen pass, but...
On a good motion, bottom to top. He's in the backfield. Ruby from the gun now. Back to throw, looking, throwing way over the head of everybody inside the five-yard line. He got dumped down at the end of the play. There's pursuit on the quarterback by Tony Petrosino. And now it'll be Alter taking over. And so that toss that went behind Dixon was a huge turnaround for Alter,
if you will. You talk about two big plays there. The drop pass because of the poor separation of the receivers and then the drop on the toss. So two negative plays.
So first and 10 mark the ball at the 32-yard line. They go with that wishbone look again. One way wide to the bottom. The handoff goes to the last man through, and they're going to get the ball off the left side up to around the 34, maybe the 35-yard line. So the Hawks doing a good job of shutting down that Alter offense, at least between the tackles, as there's a short gain on the play as the handoff goes to Justin Harris. So what do you look for here from Alter that we didn't see on the first possession?
Well, it's time for them to unleash the triple option. I mean, they've run the dive, they haven't run the quarterback, and they haven't run the pitch, and it's about to come right now. Well, they're in a one-back set right now, but you still could see the quarterback keep on this.
Three to the bottom, one to the top, one back in the backfield, and they're going to keep it into the hands of the quarterback who powers forward to around the 40-yard line. So we talked about the prowess of the signal caller for the Knights, Ryan Markoff. He had 114 carries for 1,006 yards, an 8.8-yard average, and 15 touchdowns. And that time he just found a gap to the left side and kind of went over the top with his hands and pushed the ball out to the 41-yard line. So it's third down and one now from the 41.
If they were a spread offense, we'd call that the zone read play. And basically he just put the ball in the belly of the fullback or the running back and kept it and followed right behind.
Two new wideouts check in. One goes to the bottom of the set now. That's Ben Keltos. Keltos to the bottom. Again, the wishbone look. The left halfback gets the handoff, and
he didn't get it.
Down on the play, right at the line of scrimmage, is Holden Rushing, who wasn't, and now it's fourth down, and they didn't go for it last time. Do they go for it this time?
Nope. It looks like they're going to punt the ball away.
And who made the hit on the play?
I could not tell.
Okay, for the hit.
It might have been Cody Kirkbride.
It was Max Steinecker.
Okay, you're
right. Steinecker's made a couple big hits already in this contest, a guy that we didn't think would see a lot of time.
On the same play twice.
Yeah.
The same play twice.
So twin safeties back deep for the Hawks. The one thing they have to do is not encroach, and they don't. Ruffalo's going to punt it from the 34. This time gets a gorgeous punt. Cole's going to retreat inside the 10. It's going to bounce at the 5. Will it make it into the end zone? It does for a touchback. It just barely into the end zone for the touchback. But that was a booming punt of some 59 yards. With that being said, it is now Hartley getting the ball back, first and 10 from the 20-yard line.
Well, that ball hit at about the 7-yard line going in. So you try to instruct your guys back there catching it. Don't catch it inside the 10. And he didn't, and the ball just barely snuck into the end zone.
A couple of scores we can update you on in Division 6. 5 minutes left to go in the first quarter. The Green Wave trailing Newark Catholic down to Cuyahoga Heights 7-0. And Steubenville, Big Red, with a big lead over Perry early in that one, 13-0. We know Sakach is the only guy I've known that's taught study hall for the last 35 years. He must do it well, though, huh?
He's going to do it till he gets it right.
First and 10, Hawks from the 20-yard line. Tight set this time. Culver. A little counterplay, and Cameron gets it up to around the 24-yard line. All right, after that last toss, when they had problems, let's see if they go back to that early in the second quarter, but that will end things. 12 minutes in the book, state semifinal, Division 4, Hartley on top of Alder, 7-0. We'll pause for 60 seconds here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Knights of Columbus Insurance, world's most ethical company, as recognized by the Ethisphere Institute, offering life, long-term care, and disability insurance, along with IRAs and Roth IRAs. Knights of Columbus, a trusted insurance agency with the AM Best A++ Superior Ratings. Contact their general agents, James Valent and Chad Osterholt, at kfc.org.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart. We have a large selection of fresh, off-lease, low-mileage vehicles at great prices. Please visit our website at miraclemotormart.com, where you can choose from over 350 vehicles which are priced to sell quickly. We deal with over 20 lenders to arrange your financing needs with rates as low as 2.9%. Go to miraclemotormart.com. You'll be glad you did.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Second and five from the 25-yard line. Hawks with one out to either side. Hand off Dixon, left side. Gain up to around the 27-yard line. He's going to pick up two on the play. So it'll be third down and three from there. And the Hawks already back up in the line of scrimmage now as we're early in the second quarter. Randy Reinhardt, Larry Wolf, Scott Rex, Greg Savaldi. Glad to have you aboard again. They go with the tight set. Two standing up as receivers to the top. Marquette Dixon in motion, bottom to top, gets the handoff and runs into a wall at the 27-yard line. The scrum breaks out, but there's no way he's going to push the pile up to the 30-yard line. So it'll be a fourth down scenario and close to 3 yards as Dixon maybe got about a yard on the play at most. In fact, nothing. They're going to put him back at the original line of scrimmage. So it'll be fourth down and three from there.
Well, you knew the Alder defense would stiffen, and it's just a matter of time. Now, Hartley was successful running straight at them. Right now, they've been going a little bit side to side on that series, and it's okay. You're still probing. You're trying to find out what will work and what won't work. So that obviously didn't work, and it's fourth down.
Jake Ruby averaging 40.9 yards a punt on 14 punts. Runs toward the line of scrimmage. Now rolls. Now throws it downfield for Cole and overthrows him by a yard at the 43-yard line. Ruby ran towards the line of scrimmage, was looking for the gap. Then he saw Cole and tried to launch the ball downfield and overthrew Philip Cole by just a yard.
He actually had Philip Cole open if he could have connected with him. I mean, it could have been a big gainer. I think that was one of those maybe fake, maybe not fakes, and, you know, he got sucked up into the line there. We saw last week they blocked a punt. A punt was blocked because he's so short. He's only about 8 or 9 yards back. By the time he kicks it, he's about 5 yards back.
So give the ball back to Alter now on the short side of the field, if you will. First and 10 from the Hawk, 27-yard line. Glad to have you aboard for state semifinal action in Division 4, 10:34 left to go. Again, they go with the wishbone look. And off around the left side, there's nothing there. They cut the runner down right at the 26-yard line. So they look for a gap around the left side, but that time, John Bivens III is knocked down. Bivens is a guy, too. You look at him, he's just a sophomore, but 96 carries, Larry, 910 yards, and 12 touchdowns.
Well, in this offense, that's just straight power, and they're going to lead with both backs. And Alexander Blackman did a nice job of submarining it from his linebacker spot. The Hawks are doing a good job along the line of scrimmage, knocking people down. What they're doing is they're creating places for their linebackers to make run-throughs and make tackles, and that's what's happening right now.
Daniel McKelvey goes wide to the top, one man to the slot, one wide out to the bottom, also a slot to the bottom as well. Toss trying to turn the corner at the 30-yard line, and nothing to the outside that time for Bivens. By the way, we're approaching the top of the hour. You're listening to WBSG Columbus, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. We appreciate those of you that listen to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio in many ways, on your dial at AM 820, streaming live at stgabrielradio.com, with the TuneIn Radio app, and with the St. Gabriel phone app. And I can't even tell you how many people are listening from so many different spots, but I can tell you it's one of our best audiences of the season. So we're glad you're aboard tonight. We want to say a big hello to Mr. Angelo, a big Hartley fan who listens, and he is a veteran of life and listens to the games every week. So we say thank you for listening to the games, especially the Hartley Hawks. Wide to the top now goes Matthew Zielinski, against the wishbone look. Little roll this time by the quarterback. Looks downfield for Zielinski at the 10-yard line. Lost the handle on the football. Perfectly placed by Ryan Markoff. And Zielinski bobbled the ball, hit him right in the breadbasket at the 11-yard line.
And once he bobbled it, Cameron Culver closed the gap quickly and just smacked him, and the ball came loose. Now, that's a huge play because that was an easy first down, and it was a boot pass. One-man route, no big deal. They faked the power to the left and booted to the right, and they're going to try about a 44-yard field goal here.
Yeah, Matt Ruffalo is 4 of 5 on field goals, but his long on the season is 40 yards. This will be a 44-yarder with 9:28 left to go in the first half.
I'd be making sure there wasn't a fake here.
Jack DeMario is the holder. He's a wide receiver, by the way. From the near hash, there's the snap, there's the kick, and it's not going to make it there. And if it got there, it was going to be wide right anyway. So the Hawks bend, they don't break, and they get the ball back. So you look at this for the Hawks. Let's see. They had a fumble on a pitch, basically, that hurt them. They also had a situation where they went for it on fourth down and long, yet they're still up 7-0 in this contest, and they get the ball back.
I don't think the Hartley Hawks could have scripted it any better right now. I mean, they could be up 14-0, but at the same time, they turned the ball over on the short side of the 30 and held Alder out of the end zone. That's a tremendous defensive stand by the Hartley Hawks. Big.
So the Hawks will get the ball first and 10 from the 20-yard line. Up to the line they come again, evenly distributed with a wide out to either side. Ruby under center. Ah, take that back. He's gone back in the shotgun look, and Culver goes in motion, but Ruby's going to keep it, and Jake gets to the 21-yard line. Fake the handoff to Culver, and Ruby, going back to the shotgun, got to the 21-yard line, and that's about it. So looks like they're trying to get Jake more involved in the offense as well, too.
Well, they're going to need to get everybody involved in the offense tonight so that you can keep this. If this defense starts to come downhill at you, Hartley's going to be in trouble. Right now, they've got them a little bit guessing. They're trying to still probe.
Kirk Bright.
You just don't know what's going
to
work.
Kirk Bright is the tight end to the bottom. Culver to that side. Manley to the top. Backs are offset. Ruby under center again on the second down and 9 now from the 21-yard line.
Start the counterplay.
The delay, they hand it off right up the gut. It goes to Marquette Dixon, who hits the hole at the 25 and backs his way to the 26, maybe the 27-yard line. So it'll be third down and short now for the Hawks. Third down and just more than 3 as the ball approaches the 27-yard line. And we approach 8.5 left to go in the first half.
That was just a little slightly different than the last counterplay. The last counterplay, they handed off over the top, and they brought the backside guard and the fullback back in. This time it was kind of a tailback trap up the middle.
Do you try to make a statement with Dixon again on the third down play here?
I think you're going to try and run something straight at him, downhill.
Kirk Bride, the tight end of the bottom. Manley and Culver to the top, wide, but not real wide, if you know what I mean. Onaga exits the backfield, toss. Marquette Dixon, 20, 25, 30. Gone. Dixon, 40. Marquette Dixon, 50. One man to beat and brought down at the 35-yard line. Marquette Dixon got the corner on the sweep and had a huge gainer. One man to beat, and he brought him down right at the 35-yard line. But after a gain of 41 yards on the play, and the hit was made by Jordan Coover, who comes up from the secondary, the safety, with 14 solos, 13 assists, 2 tackles for a loss, and a fumble recovery.
That was a great call because Alder walked up both corners, and they had like an 8-man front. So it was going to be tough sledding inside, and Hartley called the quick toss.
Here's your obligatory sideline warning against the Hawks. By the way, the Hawks had 108 yards total offense in the first quarter. Alder had 18, everything on the ground. 39 yards. We'll readjust the amount because they're going to mark the ball at the 35. So 35 yards on the run by Dixon. I never thought I'd say this, but I'm taking off my coat right now because it's actually warm in here. I brought a space heater. That'll be our secret. Kirkbride's going to readjust as the tight end
when
to the
catches,
top of the
when
set.
It catches on fire, we'll let you know.
All right. Well, you're the closest to it, sir.
No, I'm first one to out the exit. I love me.
Kirkbride's going back and forth. Now he goes back to the top. After going to the bottom, the Hawks have said, you know what, there's 3 on the play clock. We're never going to get it off. We'll pause for 30 seconds here. We'll recreate the offense, and as they do so, we'll pause as well for 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
This is Bobby Dawes for Bob Boyd Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Lancaster, where the deals have never been better than during the Ram Power Days. Save up to $11,000 on new 2016 Ram Crew Cab 4x4s or get 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2016 Ram 1500s. Shop us 24/7 at BobBoyd.com. Come see us at Bob Boyd Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lancaster, where the best deals you'll see are always on Route 33. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Coming up at halftime on the Highlighter, I will talk to a couple guests from Bishop Hartley High School, Pat Murphy, the outstanding athletic director, and Kevin Petrella, math teacher and the head wrestling coach there, who you know pretty well.
Yeah, I got to coach against him and some of his brothers, and there's been a long line of Petrellas there at Hartley.
Good assistant football coach for a while as well.
Yes, he was.
So the Hawks have it first and 10 from the 35. They take them their second time out. They have one remaining. And Alter with their full complement of three timeouts left. They're going to hand it off right up the middle, and that time it looks like it's Blackman, who got to be 34, maybe the 33, and that's it. Other scores, by the way, in the first quarter in Division One. These contests now, early on, St. X leads Pick Central 7-0, and in the second quarter, St. Ignatius over Olentangy Liberty 7-0 in that contest.
It's great to see two Central Ohio Division One schools in the Final Four.
Not great to see them down, though, both times.
No.
But it's early. Gain of one on the play for Blackman. Marked the ball at the 34 officially. So second and nine from there. 7:20, 7:19, 7:18 and ticking here in the first half. Ruby out of the pistol look now with Dixon about 3 yards to his right. On the delay, Ruby's got it inside the 35 to the 30. And Ruby on the quarterback draw gets to around the 27-yard line. Something else to think about, huh?
That's exactly. You have to give them every weapon that you have. And you have to make sure that they have to defend all four weapons back there. They can stop the inside counter, and they can stop the inside isolation, but they can't stop them all. They can't stop the tosses, and they can't stop the quarterback. So, you know, you just have to keep probing.
Third down and a long two from just past the 27. Blackman, Cone, and Dixon. They line up that way in the backfield behind Ruby under center. And the seven guys up front look like one big Hartley Hawk.
It looks
They're
like
so
a giant
tight.
Marshmallow.
It's Dixon, left side, inside the 26 to the 25, maybe down to the 24, and should have enough to move the sticks again for the Hawks with 6:27 left to go.
See, the thing, when you're a play caller, sometimes you just get into a zone and you just call plays. They just come to you. You know, you've got your script sheet and all that good stuff. They just come to you in rhythm, and some nights you can't find a good play. Right now it looks like Hartley's in some kind of rhythm.
Rematch of a game that took place in the playoffs back on November the 26th, 2010. So one day away from, what, the six-year anniversary that Hartley won 29-28 with a two-point conversion by Noah Key with 2:05 left to go.
He was a pretty good back.
Oh, he was indeed. On the counter play, inside, wow, to the 23-yard line. They stack it up, and that's about it. Short gain on the play. To find a gap, you actually had to step on bodies that time.
There are no gaps. They're just surges.
Yeah, that time was Cameron Culver. And Culver got maybe 2 yards to around the 23-yard line, and he had to step on the back of somebody just to find the 23. How do you coach that? You say just go over the top of the pile?
Just push the pile, and if there's no pile, just fall over the top. You got to just keep going.
I mean, tackle to tackle, there was no gap.
We've covered Hartley enough to know there a lot of times there are no gaps. There's
That's
just
right.
surges. There's just a wall of bodies.
Manley is the alleged wideout, and again, he's just a couple steps away from the right side of the offensive line. Second down at 8. Blackman in motion, the wing to the bottom. Ruby rolling right, giving ground, looking. Now rolling left. He's got room if he wants to go back the other way. He's got some blockers, too. 30, 25, 20, 15. Ruby undercut at the 13-yard line. Jake Ruby. Again, you could see the wall set up to the left side. Once there was nothing to the right, rolled back and some great blocking downfield.
Jordan Kirkbride fainted as if he was going to go out on the backside. He was a backside protector all the way. He wasn't going out on this pattern. But when he saw the quarterback rolling back out, he decided to go out for a pass and then realized, hey, I'll just come back and block. And he locked his man up and blocked him for 15 yards and didn't let him loose and then dumped him.
Ruby
great block.
Picks up 9, first and 10 from the 13, 5:07 left to go for the Hawks. Ruby going to hand it off. Dixon up the middle inside the 10 and plows forward to the 8 and maybe falls forward to the 7-yard line.
You know, it's something we said in the pregame. We thought Jake Ruby would have to do make some plays with his feet and his arm. And so far, he's been very successful with his feet.
Goes all the way to the sidelines. Chris Sawyer, the outstanding offensive coordinator for the Hawks. They relay the information to Ruby, comes back to the huddle with 21 seconds, or the alleged huddle, which is more just like a quick comment before they go to the line of scrimmage. With 4:45 left to go, Ruby now goes back to the sidelines and looks at the wristband on his left hand. Three backs in the backfield, Blackman, along with Cone. Dixon is the deep man. triple stack again. Dixon's got it. 7-6-5, and might go only to the 5-yard line. And if you're Hartley, you'll take that as long as you can score, because you can just evaporate as much clock as you want with 4:22 and ticking.
Well, remember we said at the beginning, in the outset, that Hartley was having success running straight downhill at him. And right now they're doing that again. They're running the triple stack eye, and they're running straight downhill. And I got to believe they're going to do it again.
Third and 2 from the 5. Potts going from left to right. Ball closer to the far hash. Dubinville scored again. They lead Perry now 21-7 late in the first quarter. Two backs in the backfield. Now just one. Toss, sweep. Marquette Dixon and tries to get to the 3-yard line and cannot do it. He is wrestled down as he goes to the outside right around the 5-yard line. Is that Alden Sims
Alden
who made the
Sims.
Hit?
Alden Sims. Alden Sims was shot out of a cannon that time. He just pitchforked the hole, came right inside the hole, and just blew it up. But Hartley will settle for 3 here.
Sims, 48 solos, 45 assists. 8 tackles for loss at inside linebacker for the 6'1", 210-pound junior, one of the few juniors out there.
This is a big field goal for Hartley. Not much more than an extra point
if they go for it as a field goal. Boffman's going to have it right around the 11 or 12-yard line. We'll see where he puts it. He's between both yards. And Alter looked a little confused, as did the Hawks. So the Hawks are going to burn a timeout. There's only 7 left on the play clock. So the Hawks take their third and final timeout. 3:14 left to go. We'll pause for 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Education First Credit Union offers our members a variety of products and services to meet all their financial needs.
Since 1936, our values haven't changed. It's always been about putting our members' financial best interests first.
Becoming a member of Education First Credit Union is easy.
Simply visit us online, in person, or give us a call. Together, we are better.
Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Welcome back to Bullis Field in London, Ohio. 3:14 left to go in the first half. Division 4 seat semifinal. Bishop Hartley on top of Alter, 7-0. They have a fourth down and 2 from the 5-yard line. Will they go for it? Will they kick the field goal? I think they're going to go for it, Larry. I think they changed their mind.
Holy mackerel. This is a huge play.
When the timeout came, I thought, you know what? They're going to go for a triple stack to start with Blackman, Cone, and Dixon. Dixon right up the middle. 5-4-3-2. Is he in? Touchdown, Marquette Dixon. So the change pays off, and Marquette Dixon takes it in for his second touchdown in this contest. And on the season, Dixon now with 36 scores. What could have been 10-0 or only 7-0 is now 13-0, waiting for one more.
Well, big decision by Brad Birchfield and the guys, and I think they thought, let's run downhill at him. And they've been successful doing that, and I think Hartley's found something. They know they can go inside and get 3 yards every time.
And that time they picked up 5, and we talk about all the trick plays it can do and the jet sweeps and everything like that. And this time just going between the tackles. Dixon off the left side, found the gap and took it in. Extra point time for Agresti. The snap, the kick, it's up. And the Hawks up by 14. 3:10 left to go in the first half. We'll take another break of 30 seconds here on the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hi, Vince DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart, and I'd like to share a letter from one of our customers. Dan says, I can attest to their quality customer service and their commitment to delivering an unmatched customer experience. I have personally purchased my last 10 vehicles from Miracle Motor Mart, and if my extended family is included, that number jumps up to over 28. Sincerely, Daniel Horgan, Mayor of Akron, Ohio. Miracle Motor Mart, where we treat everybody like the mayor.
Marquette Dixon does it again. 5 yards out. Agresti, the PAT. 12 plays, 80 yards. That usurped 6:13 off the clock. And now it's 14-0 Hawks. Updating some scores at the end of the first period in Division 6. Cuyahoga Heights still leads Newark Catholic 7-0. Marquette Dixon, 19 carries, 143 yards, and 2 touchdowns so far in the first half of the Hawks.
This is a perfect execution of what Hartley wanted to do. Take time off the clock and score points.
Agresti with a kick and punches at it, and the return's going to start from the 23-yard line.
Coming
Blevins
here.
Coming near side across the middle. 35, 11, 40, 45. To the outside, he takes it. 45, 40, 35, 30. Down the sidelines.
25-yard line, 20, 15, and knocked down the last guy with a chance was Elijah Carter, and Carter saved the touchdown. I don't see any flags on the play.
I see something sparkling out there at about the 27-yard line, but I don't see a flag.
The sparkling thing down there was John Gibbons.
Yes, it was. And I was taking a look when Hartley was going for their extra point. I was watching the offense down here for Alder, and they were getting fired up to get back on the field. They were giving each other five, and it looked like it's gut check time for them. So this is going to be a big drive for them. It's only going to be a 14-yard drive if they punch it in.
64 yards on the return. This could be huge now because they'll get the ball to start the second half. Too.
Absolutely.
First and 10 from the 14. Wishbone look again, too. Kopp wants to throw, rolling, looking, pressure on, gives ground back to the 20. Does he see the pressure? Boy, he didn't see it for the last minute, and he had three guys just waiting for him, and they drill him back of the 17-yard line. A guy that showed a lot of mobility on the play was Ethan Amaya.
Absolutely. Just kept working his way down the line, down the line, down the line, and the slant route was open initially. Zeminski was open initially, but he didn't get the ball to him right away, and then it was closed. It was a one-man route again.
Daniel McKelvey will check in with the play, and he'll go wide to the bottom and to the top. Once again, it's Matthew Zeminski. Yep. This time, they go two wide to the bottom, one back in the backfield from the gun. Quarterback will keep the ball and get down to the 15-yard line, and that's it. Great penetration that time for the Hawks by James Reese III, who makes the hit on the play. On the keeper play by Ryan Markoff.
Because Alder doesn't really have a passing attack, the linebackers are free to spy the quarterback. And so as the running back comes to one side, that's one linebacker's key. But the quarterback's going the opposite way. That's the other linebacker's key. So all you have to do is key on your guy, and you just cross-key it. And it's a little bit simpler than you think.
Third and 11 now from the 15. Harris checks in at a running back again. Three back look with the wishbone from the 15-yard line with 1:41 left to go. Markoff looking, rolls right, now rolls left, now sees a gap, 15, 10, 5, aiming for the pylon. Does he make it in for a touchdown? Waiting for the call, is he in for a touchdown? Yes, touchdown.
He does.
Count it with 1:31 left to go as Markoff takes it in on the ground for a 16th touchdown on the season, and then it was 14-6.
Well, that's exactly what Brad Birchfield told us before the game, that their quarterback is the guy they had to stop. They didn't know whether to be on first down, second down, or third down, but that time on third down, he makes a big run to the corner of the end zone, just got inside the pylon for the touchdown.
So the returning starter at quarterback takes it in on the ground. We mentioned over 1,000 yards rushing for him. Ruffalo to attempt the extra point, but we have Hankey's toss before the start.
Yep, the right guard was moving. I'm not sure why that's a penalty, though. He wasn't in his stance, and all he was doing was resetting, and nobody was in their stances, so...
74 is who they announced. That's
they must Charles have thought it was Emball. A false start. Must have just thought it was a false start. Excuse me.
So mark it back to the 15-yard line, so the extra point will take place from there for Matt Ruffalo and company. Again, looking to go 74 of 75 on extra points of the campaign. Snap, kick, plenty of leg. It is up, and it's good. So it's 14-7. You know, you're the Hawks right now. You got 91 seconds left in the first half, but you don't have any timeouts left. You'd like to make something happen. You know that Alder's going to get the ball to start the second half. They've got a little mo going after the long kick return. How do you handle things right now?
Well, and Alder has some timeouts left. So depending on what Hartley does here with the kick return, Alder might choose to use their timeouts and force Hartley to punt if Hartley doesn't get a touch or a first down here.
Markoff, a 15-yard run for the touchdown. Ruffalo, the PAT, three plays, 14 yards, 1:26. Ticking off the clock, and we stand now at a one-touchdown contest. You know, in the old days, I think we would have been seeing, and I say old days by a couple of years ago, we would have been seeing onside kicks left and right from the Hartley Hawks. I wonder if they contemplate something like that in the second half.
Well, Brad wasn't sure exactly how he was going to kick off. Remember, he talked about that. He said, we might go onside, we might pooch it. We're not sure because we have to wait and see. Well, I think he saw, so we'll see how it...
Well, John Bivens has speed, I can tell you that, as just a sophomore. So mark the ball at the 40, and there's the boot that time by Ruffalo, and the return's going to start from the 4-yard line up across the 5, the 10. Culver's got it up to the 18, and that's about it. Hits the wall of Knights right there.
You'll get nothing and like it.
So with 1:25 left to go, Hartley's got the ball back, leading 14-7 in this contest.
Well, I'm pretty sure we're going to see either Cameron Culver on a jet sweep or Marquette Dixon running off tackle, because I don't think the Hawks are going to do anything to risk a handoff. That would be risky at this point.
The ball touches the 15, so we'll call it the 15-yard line. First and 10 from there. And to say it's a tight set on this first down play for the Hawks would be an understatement.
11 guys basically in an offensive box. And flags and hankies before we start the play. Culver is going to get the toss sweep near side, and the penalty is going to go against the Hawks. It's a false start on the offense. It'll be first and 15 from 5 yards further back.
This is one of those situations where you really have to be careful if you're Hartley, because the last thing you want to do is turn the ball over. You want to make sure of every handoff, put the ball away. Don't fight for the extra yards in traffic. And just you know, if you're winning 14-7 at halftime, that's what you're doing.
Manley to the top. Dixon to the bottom. Ruby in the backfield with one back. Just a keeper now for Ruby. Here's Dixon coming in motion. Dixon comes in motion. Ruby shows that he wants to throw, and he throws a long downfield and overthrows everybody again by about 8 yards.
That surprised me. And there was good coverage on that, so it didn't fool the Alder defensive backs.
And Ruby's been a little long with his touch so far.
In both directions, so it's not a wind-aided kind of thing. He's just maybe a little jazzed up here for the big game.
Second down at 15 now.
28, Robert.
With 1:19 left to go. An update with 8:17 left to go in the second quarter. St. Ignatius with another touchdown. They lead Olin Tangi Liberty 14-0 in that contest now. Scott Rex is handling all the scores tonight and doing a masterful job. Second and 15 from the 15 on the delay. Here comes Marquette Dixon. Dixon up to the 18, maybe the 19-yard line. Ran into a pile at the 18, bounced off of that. And here's Alter burning a timeout. You mentioned it, Larry. They've got timeouts to burn, and they'll take one now with 1:12 left to go.
Well, with that incomplete pass, they didn't need to burn one on first down. So now they're going to have an extra one left. And the 1:12, Hartley's going to have to get a first down here on third and 11, or they're going to have to punt it out of their own end.
Ball resting at the 19-yard line. So Bishop Hartley got the touchdown early by Dixon, then another one by Dixon, and survived a toss on a sweep where the ball was tossed a little bit behind Dixon, then also survived a fourth down play where they decided to go for it, not punt the ball, yet they were up 14-0. And then when things are going well on the kickoff return, that's when Bivens took it more than 60 yards and set him up in great field position, and the quarterback then was able to take it in. Markoff some 15 yards, and we stand 14-7.
Well, you know, the problem that Hartley has with their punt game is that Ruby's their punter, and that's the good news because he's a pretty good punter, but he only goes about 9 yards deep, and he punts the ball at about 6 yards. So any kind of force up the middle, we've seen punts be blocked before.
Third and 11 for the Hawks from the 19-yard line. Backs offset. Onaga is the lead back. One wide to either side. On a handoff up across the 20-yard line. On a sweep to the 22-yard line. And that's about it. Short gain on the play. Cameron Culver got it up there. And another timeout going to be taken by Alter. They'll have one left, and they'll have 106 left in the first half. So Alter now will have one timeout left unofficially. Hawks have exhausted theirs, and they should get the ball back in decent field position.
Well, I would guess that Hartley might want to directional punt this thing and get it out of bounds somewhere so that you don't just give an open field. Because if you get a booming punt, you could get a boomerang return. It could come right back at you.
Well, the irony of that is, you know, Bivens is not the deep man on kickoff returns.
Right.
Normally going deep, it's David Ruth along with Jack DeMario on kickoff returns. It's Holden Rushing and Dan McKelvey. So by not kicking it deep on the kickoff, kind of backfired for the Hawks. But we'll see what happens here on this fourth down play. Let's see who they send back. They may not be buying the fact that the Hawks are actually going to punt.
Well, even if they buy it, they're not buying it wholesale because, I mean, they're just not sure.
David Ruth, a linebacker and a punt returner, is standing at the 45-yard line. He averages about 24 yards per punt return. Ruby going to his right, gets off a low line drive punt. Ruth's got it at the 48 of the Hawks, to the 45. Spins and is knocked down by Blackman at the 43-yard line. Ruby with no elevation on that rugby-style punt and nearly got that one blocked in his face.
That ball probably should have been blocked because one of the Alder defenders came right through the A-gap, right between the center guard or the guard tackle gap. I couldn't tell for sure. And nearly had that one blocked. And that would have been trouble for Hartley.
But 26 yards, Larry, on the punt, 6 on the return. If you can't tell already, the press box is on the Alter side here tonight. The Hartley side is a mile and a half away. So we wave to the Hartley fans. Great crowds on both sides here for this D4. The winner with a chance for the ultimate prize. First and 10 from the Hawks 42. Markov back to throw. Looks, has time at midfield. Now rolls, now looks, now rolls to his right. Now he's going to go long downfield and throw it up for grabs. And Culver tries to catch it out of bounds at the two-yard line. He was near the sidelines of the two. Not sure what Markov was thinking there, but the pass falls incomplete at the two-yard line. Cameron was the closest to the ball now with 48.2.
Markov was thinking, I'm going to throw this as far out of bounds as I can. And unfortunately, the ball only went about 7 yards out, or 7 feet out of bounds. And Culver tried to stretch. He tried to do his best imitation of a Gumby there, and it didn't quite work.
If he were 7'2", he could have had that.
Maybe. Jabbar might have had it. Might have had it.
Second down and 10 from the Hawk 42. One back in the backfield. Markov back to throw again. Pressure right up the middle. Looks, guns it across the middle. Pass knocked away on the play by Reese. And coming up through the middle with great pressure for the Hawks was Patrick Gilliland. He was carrying two defenders with him.
Absolutely. He was just bench pressing two guys right up through the middle of it. And James Reese has made three big plays here tonight. And you know, you got to have people that aren't your superstars make superstar plays. And that's a big play for the Hawks right there, because that catch would have been about the 26-yard line. And it would have gone on down to about the 15.
Gilliland, 6'5 and 305. Third down and 10 from the 42. Markov straight back to throw again. Plenty of time. Standing back at the Hawk 48-yard line. Rolls to his left. Now wants to double back. He's going to get knocked down. And no, gets away and just throws all the way downfield. A jump ball and nearly caught. And was it intercepted? No, it falls incomplete inside the five. It looked like he was going to give up on the play and heaved it downfield. Nearly picked off by Cameron Culver at the 3-yard line. And you want to talk about a jump ball. And what a toss by the quarterback, Markov, as well, too.
Everybody on both sidelines had a chance to catch that one, because that looked like a wounded turkey. I'm keeping with the season, of course. That was just wobbling all the way down there. And, I mean, everybody had a chance at that one.
Jack Mothy was the alleged receiver on the play, standing inside the 10-yard line. So fourth down and 10. You take another shot at it here?
Sure, why not? There's only 27 seconds left, so.
The Hawks have no timeouts. Two wide either side. Quarterback Markov straight back to throw. Has time. Rolls to his left. Looking, going long downfield, and has a man open inside the five and overthrows him, but barely. I'm not sure if we short-armed that a little bit on the play. The wideout was there. It looked like in Daniel McKelvey at around the three-yard line.
It looked like he got a bad case of alligator arms, because I think he had a chance to catch that ball. If he lays out, it wouldn't have been a great catch. It had just been a very good catch, and I think most good receivers would love to make that catch.
So if you're the Hawks, a sigh of relief. They have it first and 10 from the 42-yard line. Do you just take a knee here?
Well, you got 16 seconds. You got two or three game breakers back there. You know, you give it to Cameron Culver to see what he can do, or Marquette Dixon, see what he can do. And it looks like a jet sweep to Marquette Dixon. I'm just going to guess here.
He's to the top, two to the bottom, one back in the backfield. That's Onaga. Now Onaga's going to readjust, as is Kirkbride, the tight end. Ruby may just take a knee. We'll see what happens. Nope, Ruby wants to throw. Going back, looking long across the middle, and again overthrows everybody inside the 30-yard line. So the Hawks not lying down with 11.2 left to go. It'll be second out of 10.
That play is a difficult play to connect with, because they brought the tight end over to this side and covered him up, so they were short one receiver. If they had kept the tight end on the other side of the field and run him off into the flats, it might have sucked the corner up, and they might have been able to get the ball over the top of him. But as it was, the backside corner sunk underneath the route, and the safety headed over the top. He was double-teamed. No chance at the completion.
Second and 10 Hawks from the 42-yard line. Exciting last 2 minutes of the first half, to say the least. Two backs offset. Culver in motion, top to bottom. Manley, the wide out to the bottom. Ruby on the delay is going to hand it off to Marquette Dixon, and they drag him down at the 41-yard line. And that will end the first half, unless Alder decides to take one more timeout. They have one left, and they're not even going to burn it. And that will do it for the first half. So the Hawks get two touchdowns early. Antoine Martin, by the way, made the hit on the last play. And Larry, at the break, Bishop Hartley leading by a count of 14-7. Are you happy or disappointed if you're a Hawks fan right now?
Absolutely ecstatic. You're 14-7. You turned the ball over twice, basically, on the short side of the 50. And, I mean, one with a kick return that turned out to be 7 points, but the other one on the almost the block punt, the other one on the actual fumble there. So you had a chance to be down in this game. You're up 14-7. Brad would take this every time.
Only bad news is Alter will get the ball to start the second half.
Hey, Learn to live another series. If Hartley's defense continues to play well, it won't matter.
Hartley taking on a team that has not lost in 13 contests this year. As we mentioned, tough opponents in the postseason for Alter in Indian Hill, Clinton Massey, and Wyoming. But again, none of the teams they played during the regular season made the postseason.
Well, and none of them are going to match up with the DeSales or a
Toledo Central Catholic. Right.
You know, those are outstanding football teams, and Hartley played several outstanding teams. So that's the nature of the beast for Hartley. So that's why they're a good playoff team. They play a tough schedule year-round.
At halftime, Bishop Hartley on top of Alter by a count of 14-7. We'll pause on the other side. It'll be the highlighter. I'll have two guests tonight. Bonus coverage at halftime, if you will. We'll talk to Pat Murphy, the athletic director at Bishop Hartley, doing a great job with the Hawks. And Kevin Petrella, the math teacher and head wrestling coach, was a multi-talented individual as well, too. Plus, Scott's compiling scores from all the other games, and we'll take a look at stats from the first half as well, too. So here at halftime, Bishop Hartley on top of Archbishop Alter by a count of 14-7. This is the CCL Game of the Week, as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.